For this episode, I'm actually being joined by a young Black man with heavy ties to his community who has fallen victim to structural racism. He goes by the name Pablo. Pablo was actually on the Cuffin Season episode in the background. Okay. But now he's back front and center to share his story. So do you want to say hello?
Yo, peace and blessings to everybody listening. Pablo's here. AKA Johnny Boy at Johnny Boy Baby. You can follow me on all social media.
Okay. Well, how are you doing today? Aside from that intro.
I'm blessed.
That's, you know, good.
Trying to stay out the way of these viruses, but other than that, good.
Right. Lord. Well, I mean, at least it hasn't hit, you know, Pierce County yet. But anyway, so let's jump into the organization of today's episode. A few things that we're going to actually discuss about is the never-ending trend of mass incarceration in the Black community. We're also going to get to know Mr. Johnny Boy, a.k.a. Pablo, and he's actually going to share his experience about and with our criminal justice system. Also, he's going to talk about his life after imprisonment, his spiritual journey, and his efforts to give back to his community. So first things first, Pablo, because nobody knows you just yet. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, where are you from? You know, what was your life like before, you know, being locked up and everything?
My life, honestly, was good. I came up on Back and Forth by Coastal Baby. Spent a lot of time on the East Coast. Spent a lot of time on the West Coast. So I guess you could kind of say I'm diverse in that regard. But before incarceration, like I said, my life was good. Like, I, you know what I'm saying? I have both parents, you know what I'm saying? Both parents was in my life. My mother married early, so I had two fathers. So I don't want anybody to be misconstrued thinking that I'm the statistic or the typical, you know what I'm saying, Black kid that didn't have a father or things like that. My decisions didn't have anything to do with that. Yeah, so, but just, you know, more so about myself, I grew up, you know what I'm saying, I mean, of course, inner city, but it wasn't, like, crazily impoverished areas. Like, we wasn't all the way up, but we wasn't all the way down, you know what I'm saying? Like, we had lights turned off and things like that, and, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, was depending on certain resources, but, I've seen worse, so. Mm-hmm. That didn't have anything to do with my, you know, my background, really.
So what was your community like, though? So, I mean, aside from home, you know, because we all grew up in a certain home, but then there's a community that we come from. So what was your community like?
My community was very influential. I wasn't tapped into the person, like, I wasn't tapped into people like the person that I'm becoming. I didn't really have people around me that had the positive influence. Per se, I more so had, again, outside of my parents trying to tell me the right thing, even they had, you know, things that they had going on, just because of that's what was going on. But I didn't really have the mentors and, you know, things like that. Like, the people that I was looking up to, again, may sound cliche, but they was, you know, they was in the trenches, they was getting it. And so that was my influence. You know, I had uncles and cousins and, you know, people like that who were making certain decisions. And I've kind of felt like I used to tell people when I was like, I tell people all the time, when I was young, I used to think like selling drugs and stuff like that was legal, just because of the people that I saw around me. It was like they didn't even miss a beat. They didn't, you know what I'm saying? It was like the way they had it organized and laid out. It was like, I didn't think it was nothing wrong with it at first.
Right, because it was like the norm, basically. You know, you step outside every day, that's what you see.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't want to get into too many details, but I guess for starters, you know, considering what the episode is about, what would you say kind of led to you being behind bars? And then, like, what was your sentencing, if you could share it? And then, like, what was your experience like?
Well, first and foremost, I started getting in trouble early. Just because certain things I thought was okay, but I would get in trouble for little stuff, you know what I'm saying, like driving cars and not be the age you were supposed to drive or not having a license, you know what I'm saying? Because, and really just because I love cars, you know what I'm saying? And wanted to be like people that was older than me and, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. So I started getting in that type of trouble. And then it turned into, caught a case for trying to protect myself. Again, that I don't really wanted to get into too much detail on, but for a little bit after that, I caught a case that they called robbery without sticking up a bank, which was a fraud case, and just trying to generate revenue, not knowing, not understanding the details or the science behind economic vitality, not really feeling like I had a way out in my community. So we was, you know, we were trying to get money any kind of way we could or any way we knew how, just trying to be clever with it. And that is the case that I dealt with as of late, because I was on the run, or absconded, as they would say, for 14 years off of that case. So that had a huge impact on my life. It kind of crippled me through my life, because I was always looking over my shoulder. I was dealing with two felony warrants because of that case, for 14 years of my life. So trying to maneuver, trying to live, trying to just be a citizen, you know what I'm saying, with those type of things in my head because of stupid decisions I made that long ago in my life. But finally, you know what I'm saying, by the grace of Allah, I handled those issues in the summer, and they put me down, you know what I'm saying? Like, but bounce back, you know what I'm saying? Again, just, I can't do anything but, you know what I'm saying, give thanks. Because I wouldn't have been able to do it. I wouldn't even been able to deal with the being locked up and all those type of things. That was really always my reason for shaking. I used to tell people all the time, like, you know what I'm saying, if they lock me up, they, you know what I'm saying, and they let me post bail, they got to do their job after that, because I'm doing the dash, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
And that was always my situation. But this time they sat me down. I had no way out other than to deal with what I had to deal with. And
you had to face the music.
Absolutely. And from that, I became stronger than I ever knew I could be. You know what I'm saying? Even when I got out, I was surprised by all of it. And even when I got out, they put me on high-risk house arrest. And so I was still pretty much incarcerated outside. You know what I'm saying? So had to check in, had the telephone on my monitor, like couldn't go past certain areas, had to call them if I was leaving the county, anything like that. You know what I'm saying? So it was a struggle. But if I wasn't where I am, if I was still, like, you know what I'm saying, young boy just running around, and where I was back then, I wouldn't have been able to deal with what I just got through dealing with. You know what I'm saying? It took a lot.
So when you were incarcerated, like, what was that like? Like, how did you prepare yourself mentally? Or, I mean, well, I know you kind of were, like, forced into the situation. So, I mean, I guess mentally, I guess, how did you manage?
Well, I knew it was a possibility that I would get locked up. You know what I'm saying? Like, because of, like I said, I was dealing with it for so long. That's why I did what I did to prepare before I went in. I got me a lawyer. And that's what, you know, people would always tell me. Even when I was young running around, they would tell me, if you're going to be out here running around, put some of that money away for lawyer fees. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I did. You know what I'm saying? To make sure if it was a possibility I did get locked up or whatever, going even into the situation with a lawyer was my best bet. You know what I'm saying? So, and I thought that going in like that, I wouldn't have got locked up, but I still got locked up. But he was supportive throughout the whole thing. He was helpful, and it was just what I had to deal with. Other preparation was spiritual. You know what I'm saying? Like, I still stayed who I was even outside before I got locked up. You know, I'm a very spiritual person, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's what gave me the strength to go deal with that, because anybody that knows me, my family and everybody, knew that wasn't something that I was trying to go deal with. Look, I mean, I disregarded it and ran from it for 14 years, you know what I'm saying? So, but I became a different person in the process. And so that's what kind of gave me the strength and really preparation to go deal with it. When they first locked me up, I was sick. Like, you know what I'm saying? Literally. And they put me in the holding cell before they sent me up to, you know, to the house. And I didn't know what I was, you know what I'm saying? Really, I didn't know what I was going to do with myself. I just prayed my way through it, you know what I'm saying? Because I really felt like I wasn't supposed to be there. That's really right. What, you know what I'm saying? And then they told me, well, my lawyer told me, you're going to get out in 3 days. That's what they told me in court when I first went, because the judge wasn't my original judge. Mm-hmm. And so then when I went back the third day, they was like, nah, you know what I'm saying? DOC, you got a whole nother thing with DOC, and you got to stay here and wait on them to come see you. And it was, you know what I'm saying? So it was ugly. And when that's the case, you don't know when they're coming to get you. They don't know when it, you don't know when it's, you know, you're supposed to go home, because the judge is like, you're released. We are releasing you, but DOC is a whole nother jurisdiction. You know what I'm saying? So you don't know when they come in to see you. You don't know when they come in to get you. They got a limit, you know what I'm saying, within they're supposed to be around in a certain amount of days or whatever. But they try to wait until the very last minute, you know what I'm saying? And when they come and see you, if you don't take the pleas or, you know what I'm saying, things like that, they could just be like, all right.
Now they say force your hand.
Yeah, and now we got another, now it goes, the time gets rewound, you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, well, we came and saw you, so now we got the clock starts over now. You know what I'm saying? So so that was a process, like I said, in itself. I went through a lot during that, you know what I'm saying? And the reason why it bothers me so much is because I know that I ain't the only one. My case is not formed, you know what I'm saying? So
right. No, I mean, I definitely agree with you with that. It's definitely not something foreign, and you're not the first nor the last. And it's kind of crazy because, like, that's kind of what inspired today's episode, was because, like, it was like a few weeks ago I was reading, like, this article, and it was on Mother Jones, and it was talking about, you know, the racial disparities in U.S. prisons and, like, how there's a racial gap in U.S. prisons. And the crazy part of it was that... like with something I read, it was saying like there's like a 52% chance that like a low income black man has seen behind bars, like 52%. And then another thing that they had mentioned was like that, I guess, like 40% of the makeup of America's like incarceration population was like black people. And like there's like more than five, and they're like more than like five times likely to be behind bars than like white people. So I mean, it's not like foreign, it's a common thing. So I mean, hearing those statistics, how does that make you feel?
Knowing the design behind it, it don't shock me, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't, I mean, in certain regards, you feel like, wow. You know what I'm saying? Like, what, do people not see this? But people don't care. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that. That's true. I mean,
you know what I'm saying? It's like you could care as much as you want, but nobody cares. You know what I'm saying?
And when you say given the design, what do you mean by that? Like, do you think the system just sets African Americans up to be incarcerated?
Indeed.
In what ways do you feel that?
From the time slavery ended, they created the justice system, I guess, if you want to call it. You know what I'm saying? And it was more so to keep slavery without calling it slavery. So as they closed out what they called, or what we know as slavery, at that point, that's when they started locking people up for certain things. Like, and I'm sorry, I'll be more specific. That's when it became... you could get locked up for not being on a certain property past a certain time. They started making crazy laws, and who do you think was making them laws? We wasn't coming out of slavery becoming part of the, you know what I'm saying, the lawmakers, you know? So the laws was against us because they didn't want slavery to even be over. You know what I'm saying?
So, correct.
So from the beginning of time, this been this way. But the problem is, us as a people knowing this, that's why I said it's by design, and we know the design. We sit up all day and post about the things that we know, or whatever the case may be, but we don't, what do we be doing about it?
That's true. I mean, well, so, I mean, I guess we can kind of get into that a little bit later, what we do about it. Because, I mean, there have been some things that have done about it, per se. I mean, and I guess we'll kind of jump into that a little bit after and stuff. You know, because, I mean, honestly, I do feel like a lot of celebrities, for example, they are using their platform to speak out against it. And, I mean, that's why we're seeing even, you know, a lot of people getting their clemency. And, you know, some things have been changing a bit. But, I mean, obviously, we can always still do better and more. And stuff. So, moving along though. So, in the studies that I read in this article, right, some studies have shown that the leading factor in the gap between blacks and white is actually driven by economic disparities. And now I know you said that your story is not a statistic because you came from, you know, two-parent household. You guys were doing pretty well. You know, you said you wasn't all the way down, but not all the way up.
Not to cut you off, but we wasn't doing that. We wasn't doing well like that. We just wasn't. You know, I mean, my parents, not to like put nobody out there or nothing like that, but my parents was hustling. Like, you know what I'm saying? My parents would work, they would hustle, they would, you know what I'm saying? Right. So obviously we wasn't.
You guys were maintaining.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that was my reasoning for trying to go get what I was trying to get. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So.
Well, no. I hear you all the way, and I wasn't trying to say that. Well, I guess that's why that was going to be my question then, was basically like, you know, regardless, though, in what ways do you think your economic status led to you being behind bars? I mean, because I understand, like, you know, again, you know, we grew up in certain households, you know, work. At the end of the day, and I think I just want to kind of be clear, too, is that there's nothing, you know, absolutely wrong with, you know, from where we come from. I mean, if your parents worked and, you know, they made a certain amount and they didn't make a certain amount, or you got assistance, you didn't get it, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? I think at the end of the day, like, especially like where I came from, for example, in the Bronx, like, I mean, you would notice too, is like, you know, whatever little bit we had in the hood, like, it feels like we making it compared. Yeah. And then it's like, once you grow up and then you start to experience, you know, more of life, then you're like, oh wait, I really wasn't growing up that great.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm trying to say? So, I mean, I get it. Because, you know, in the and honestly, in the hood, it's like certain levels. So, like, if you had a certain pair of sneakers, a type of jeans, all that kind of stuff, you was kind of making it. You was doing all right.
You know what I'm saying? From early, I had that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because I had people around me that, like I said, they was doing what they was doing. I'm not saying
that. But, not to cut you off, though. But considering the lifestyle now that you have compared to then, if you look back, and I mean, because I get it, you know what I mean? Like, it's a pride thing a little bit. And I mean, you know, it is what it is. But considering now the lifestyle, now the things you get to experience, now the things you have, I mean, you have to look back and kind of say, like, yeah, the sneakers, the clothes, that stuff was cool and all, but was I really living? Was I able to really doing something? You know what I'm trying to say? So, I mean, that's what I'm trying to get at. And I mean, and I think, that's why I wanted to ask you, like, in what ways do you think, you know, the type of money your family had, like, the way you grew up, like, where you lived, what you didn't get to do? Like, I mean, would you vote yes that maybe that was a reason why that led you, you know, down the path that you had to go down?
Yes and no. It's more so I came in it having things that I like. Mm-hmm. I was young. Like, I was, you know what I'm saying, really young when I wasn't even really out there yet. And
you were influenced.
Yeah, and my principals and teachers was coming, calling me and my parents in the office asking if somebody in our household was selling drugs because of how I was coming to school, you know, young, like I'm talking about early. And which I feel like was crazy. We didn't know it was crazy, but now I know what I know, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would you even assume that when, you know what I'm saying, other kids could come to school with whatever. Other kids could come to school driving BMWs and, you know what I'm saying, things like that. And you ain't questioning them or their family or how they making, you know, money. But,
well, because of the statistics that's exactly labeled with black people.
And that's the, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I love this interview so much, because so from that point, I just wanted to obtain that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I got to a certain age, I'm like, yo, I gotta keep that going. And so that's where it came from. It didn't come from me feeling like I was lacking nothing. Like you said, I had what the it stuff was. You know what I'm saying? Like from early. And so that's why I've always been the same way. You know what I'm saying? Nothing that I do now, nothing that I have, you know what I'm saying? I've never changed. You know what I'm saying? Like the only thing I've changed for was trying to change for the better. You know what I'm saying? I'm not caught up by certain things. Like, you know what I'm saying? And before, I used to think those things kind of could make or break you at an early age. But as I got older, like I see even with some people that I have around me, it's like things mean more to them now than they mean to myself, because I've had a lot and I've lost a lot. You know what I'm saying? So, but it wasn't, I don't think it was, it really had anything to do with.
With the economic status?
It did.
What about your community? Because
that's what I was going to say.
I feel like. Systematic. Growing up, and I don't know about you, but like growing up, like, cause I'm gonna be real, we had to wear payless sometimes and stuff. And growing up, honestly, like you get bullied if you don't have, like, I remember back in the Pepe jeans, if you didn't have this, you didn't have that.
I wasn't that kid. Like, you know what I'm saying? I had friends like that, you know what I'm saying? So I knew their reasoning. Like, I knew their reason for being out there with us and, you know what I'm saying, things like that. But me, I just was trying to obtain it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't, like, I didn't come in not having it. My mom made sure we had it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so, and regardless of what she had to do, like I said, hustling, working a couple jobs.
So you just wanted more.
Absolutely. Because I knew what it brought. You know what I'm saying? It was a greed monster.
The status.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
The popularity.
Yeah. It was, you know what I'm saying? I was a greed monster at an early age. So mine was different. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had those friends. Like, I had those friends that didn't come in it like that. And they, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, they was tired of getting bullied. They was tired of people picking on them for not having certain things. I wasn't like that. I wasn't the guy, like, picking on people because they didn't have certain things. You know, I don't know why. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never.
Well, really, I think that's because we glorify material things in low-income communities.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. It's like, you know, nobody is teaching anyone about, like, you know, being, you know, financial savvy. I mean, the reality is like everything is a material thing. You know, how you value your status quo, so to speak, in especially like in the Black community or any color community, is based off of the material things. They're not teaching us to invest, to save, to bank. They're not teaching us that. They're teaching us fast money and, you know, blowing up materials.
Because I'm very glad you touched on that, because that turns to where I'm at now. I created a curriculum called Educating Young Entrepreneurs, because from growing up how I grew up, I knew the objective was to make money.
Right.
I went the wrong route to make it. You know what I'm saying? So I could always create a way to get it, but it wasn't always the right way. So I had to find what my passion was. You know what I'm saying? So now we encourage children to find their passion and turn their passion into profit. That's the tagline. You know what I'm saying? So, because a lot of it, like you said, a lot of children are being bullied and, you know what I'm saying, because their family don't have it. So at ages early, as like 3-4 years old, we're teaching children about economic vitality and the importance of understanding money, the importance of not only saving, but investing your money. Because what a lot of people don't know, even adults, I deal with adults that don't understand this structure. The concept of saving isn't a reality, because you're always going to have to break off. You know what I'm saying? You're like, you could save as much as you want. You know what I'm saying? But if you're not building an emergency fund, you're just saving money and you don't have a real reason for saving that money, you're going to want stuff. You're going to want, you know what I'm saying? So save or invest more than you spend. I say invest more than save, because investing is, it's saving, but it's a different concept, because that money is not there anymore. You're putting that money elsewhere, but that money is working for you. So putting that money, like, look at people like Pablo Escobar, you know what I'm saying? He saved, like, he was making so much money, he was fortunate enough to save, but the rats start eating the money. And that's exactly what happens. That's, you know what I'm saying? That's a literal concept, but in a figurative concept, it's like, that's what happens. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to go touch that money. You know what I'm saying? Because you want things. You know what I'm saying? It's like, who wants to just work, and then be stuffing some money in a mattress or in the wall somewhere, and you not touching it. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
or then when you touch it, you got to put it back, but you spent it. I mean, versus investing, you're gonna make it back.
And see, I'm glad time you too. Said that because there's different things that you could do with money. You know what I'm saying? It's like you and see, this is a lot that bothers me about our people. Mm-hmm. I see people walk around with tattoos that say money over everything, or we claim we love money, but we don't know the rules of money. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We don't know the science of money. You could save money, you can invest money, you could spend money, you could waste money. And that's what we have to understand. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of us are wasting the money that we make. So mm-hmm. we're going to be working forever. They say if you don't know how to make money when you're asleep, you're going to work until you die. Well, if you don't know how to make money while you're awake and invest that money, you ain't going to be able to even make money when you sleep. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't never going to get no sleep because you're going to be trying to continually make money, because you, every time you make money, that money burns a hole in your pocket. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's, again, that's what we teach in the class. Just the importance of, like I said, economic vitality, vertical integration, the importance of small business, the importance of not too much on just black business, but, you know, we have to touch on that. But family-owned businesses, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I mean,
you coming from the Bronx, you know about the bodegas, you know what I'm saying? You know about those mom-and-pop spots that they was building a family structure. Their children was working in those spots. You know what I'm saying? That's what I create with my daughter. Me and my daughter own a clothing manufacturing company, you know what I'm saying? And she's 13 years old. Her name, you know what I'm saying? Her name is London, and the clothing company is called The London Label. It's named after her. It's named after her, and it's, you know what I'm saying, in her likeness. So anything that happens under that name is hers. She's an actual owner of the company.
That's cool.
So from 13 years old, she understands the importance of nepotism. She understands the importance of, like I said, vertical integration, economic vitality, financial literacy. And these are the things from her. That's the reason why I created the curriculum. The things I was already teaching her, I turned it into a curriculum to teach other children, because I know everybody isn't blessed to have a father or a mother that not only understand these concepts, but are teaching their children these concepts.
Well, not even that, also too, there's those, you know, the generational, I guess, you know, tradition, so to speak, that, you know, just, it's been passed on. Like, people just don't do those things. I mean, absolutely. You know, sometimes your parents are just not well versed because their parents weren't, and then before that their parents weren't. I wanted to ask you, so your curriculum, would you say that your curriculum is structured in a way to then hopefully help to prevent, especially like young black men or even young black women or children of color, from going the route that you went in?
100%. Yes, 100%. But it's not just people of color. There's poor white people. You know what I'm saying?
There is, but I mean, the likelihood.
Again, there's poor white people. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, I mean, I know I'm not here to judge your curriculum. I mean, I think it's great that, you know, you are there for all children. I get that.
No. I don't feel like you're judging it. No.
Oh, okay.
I definitely don't feel like you're judging.
No, I'm just saying. But I mean, you know, given, you know, the rates is what I'm saying. I guess, like, you know, I understand.
Well, I'm black. I think, you know what I'm saying? I'm black, so I have to do everything I do is to teach young black people, and, you know what I'm saying? Not it's just to teach black people. You know what I'm saying? I'm iron sharpens iron. I want to help my people, period. You know what I'm saying? So it's never like shelf my people to help people that ain't helping me. You know what I'm saying? But or have really no interest to help me, but I don't want to
limit the scope. I get that.
Not at all, because there's some people that are good people, regardless of their skin color.
Oh, no, I agree 1,000%. I mean, it's just the system doesn't see it that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like you said, generationally, there are people who more so, they don't even understand why they are the way that they are, but they don't want to see us win. Even poor white people. You know what I'm saying? So don't think it's like, oh, nah, I'm here to help. You know what I'm saying? Nah, I'm here to help people who is for us. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's what, you know, so that's what we do in the, you know what I'm saying, in the program. That's what I do, like, every day, you know, every day I get up and, you know what I'm saying, I go make what I'm making happen.
That's and so,
yeah, I appreciate that. And so it is, you know, it is to help my people. It is to help, you know what I'm saying, young.
Well, to help children too. I think that's amazing. I'm sorry. I don't want you to feel again like I wasn't trying to, like, you know me though. I'm just going to keep it real.
No, I don't take it like okay. That. You know what I'm saying? And we got to be like, see, the thing is we got to be realistic and we got to be specific. And it's important that we be mindful of the segregation, because if we ain't got us, who got us? You know what I'm saying? So no, it's ultimately, yes. You know, I mean, when people see me, there's an intimidation because it's
man.
No, and I'm not to sound cocky, not, you know what I'm saying, none of that, but I'm powerful. You know what I'm saying? Because I've seen both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, I can agree to that. I mean, and because I think a lot of people don't realize too, there's a lot of power in Black men. And it's like, just the way that you guys can command a room, the way you come in with the confidence, and then you have the intellect. So yes, I mean, people are threatened by that. I mean, it's just,
absolutely.
I know for a fact though that yes, because you are definitely powerful, but also too, if you were not a Black man, they would not be intimidated by your power.
Not at all. And, I love that. I feed on that because I know where I've been. You know what I'm saying? I posted earlier when I was in the gym, like, if you knew where I came from, you would love where I'm going. And because slow motion is better than no motion. Right. I spent a lot of my life, you know what I'm saying, going in the wrong direction. And so even one step in the right direction, it's like, I don't expect people to have a party for it. You know what I'm saying? But don't piss on my parade either. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, and it's always a reason for you to celebrate. You don't, you know. So, hey, you should celebrate because you've come a long way.
Yeah,
it's
no doubt.
Very obvious. You know what I mean? And it doesn't even matter who sees it or don't. I mean, the fact that you're even, you know, taking time to, you know, reconnect with your community and then get back to the youth. I mean, a lot of people don't do that. Some people come back out and they keep making the same mistakes.
Indeed.
And then they want to point the finger at the government, at the community, at everybody but themselves. All right, guys, let's take a quick break and let's take a listen to some music by Lily Blackbird.
You know I'm out feeling baby. Turn my thoughts down, they kinda loud, baby. Still chillin' in K-Town. Still down, little light I found. Echoes not to settle down. Souls make the loudest sound. So if we vibin', then we vibe. Unspoken, we know why. Why we vibe, your vibes, they never lie to mine. Pull up, roll up, pull up, roll up, pull up, pull up.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I feel like I had this talk today because I was offered another position in my place of business where I work, and I was reluctant, or I'm still kind of reluctant to take the position, but I've considered it just because of the possibility or the access I would have. But when I was talking to somebody about it, she's in one of those positions, not the same exact position that I, you know, that I was offered, but one of those two. And we were talking about how it's tough to even have these conversations with certain people that look like us, you know, because we don't speak the same language, unfortunately. Willie Lynch created so many reasons for us to separate, even within ourselves. You know, he's Black, or he's dark-skinned, he's light-skinned, he's tall, he's short, you know what I'm saying? And it's like that house nigga mentality, you know what I'm saying? Or field nigga, whatever. And it's like, it's very unfortunate because we can't even communicate with each other. Like, we can't, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's like myself, it's certain people, certain men, Black men that have been in this similar situations as myself, we can't communicate because on anything positive, really, because they still have a certain mentality that combats my way of thinking. So it's like there's a communication barrier there. As much as I try to reach out to them, as much as I try to have them involved in things that I got going on, as much as I try to provide opportunities, resources, knowledge, acceptance, you know what I'm saying? They go in the opposite direction because their souls are still tied to certain things, you know? And as a people, we deal with that so much. It ain't just this. It ain't just the court system. It ain't just the justice system, or lack thereof. There's so many things that are killing our people, literally, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? That we won't detach from because we don't know that we should, you know? And it's like scripture says, our people suffer from lack of knowledge. And so I always, like, that always stood out to me, regardless of what I was studying, regardless of what I was following, that always stood out to me, you know? Mm-hmm. I didn't graduate from high school, but I'm very self-taught.
Well, you educated yourself.
I'm only speaking from my experience.
Of course. Know?
Yeah, I don't...
Yeah, I
don't
hope people recognize, you know, it's just his opinion.
Yeah, definitely. You know, so please be clear. Like, I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm not...
Yeah, because they get a little crazy sometimes over here when they hear things.
And I understand.
Like, you're saying, you know? What?
Yeah. No, and I get it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm not, you know, like I said, my situation isn't foreign. I know there's a lot of people that...
But your situation is still unique. And I think that sometimes people kind of get, you know, because statistics are statistics. I mean, and it's not to, you know, debunk statistics. You know what I mean? I mean, again, that's what makes the situation unique. Not everybody comes from a certain lifestyle, certain place, or not everybody... Like you said, I mean, you were just brought up this way to want to educate yourself, to want to be better, and you just made poor choices, and you've owned it, and you move forward. I mean, so I get it. But I mean, there's other people that have different, and I think people just have to respect that, you know, at the end of the day. Yeah. You know, and I don't feel like you're discounting, like, what is reality, too. I mean, because, you know, statistics, numbers don't lie. We get that. I mean, and nobody's saying that. But I mean, you know, what's unique about your story is it's just how you were brought and how... you know, came about, you know, your situation. So.
Indeed. Yeah. So, but I, you know, all in all, I appreciate it.
One final question though about everything ish. It's cause we kind of touched on all my other stuff. Mm-hmm. So they say that when a loved one is sentenced to do time, the family does time too. So how did your situation affect your family and especially your daughter?
Man, that hits home. That was, my daughter's 13. Mm-hmm. I caught my case when I caught my case 14 years ago. So majority of the reason why I never wanted to turn myself in and things like that was because I vowed, like, my daughter changed my, you know, my outlook on things, changed my life, honestly. And I made a vow that I wouldn't look at her through no glass. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So even though I had that case, I changed up a lot of the things I was doing when she was born. Mm-hmm. And I caught that before she came. When she came, I was hands off with a lot of things. Of course, I still, you know, it was, I mean, honestly, because of the me being on the run, I was forced to do certain things, like kind of going back to where I came from. But I still was making a transition to leave a lot of things alone. But it broke my heart. I had to tell her where I was because I got locked up the day before she went to school.
Aww.
Like, yeah, the day before her first day of school. And from the time she started school, I never missed her first day of school.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So, and she was going school shopping with my mother when I got locked up, and my mother and father was with her. Mm-hmm. And when I had to call them and tell them, like, yo, I'm in the bank, you know what I'm saying? So I know she felt the energy. They didn't say much to tell her what was going on, but I know she felt the energy because her mother started telling my mother that she wasn't sleeping. She kept mm-hmm. asking my mom, she kept asking her mom where I'm at, and she eventually said, this ain't like him. He don't miss my first day of school. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, because she's very smart, you know what I'm saying? She's very intelligent. And we got a bond, you know what I'm saying? So she knows there's certain things that
that's 13 years of her life.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So so that played a part, and it definitely affected, you know, my parents and loved ones. I was in a situation before I had got locked up, and it was falling off a little bit because, like I said, this situation was kind of killing me, and there was other factors, you know what I'm saying, but it was kind of falling off. But I had to deal with that coming to a close while I was locked up. So because this had an effect, and it, you know, I wasn't completely honest with her. Like, I didn't tell her all the details about what I was dealing with.
Until were you embarrassed? Was that why?
Well, no. I just had people in my past kind of hold this thing over my head. You know what I'm saying?
So you didn't want to get judged?
It wasn't really about being judged. I just didn't want it being held over my head. You know what I'm saying? Like, because the thing is, like, people, and this, like I said, this is a whole nother topic. That's why I said that I didn't want to talk about the relationship.
Well, my question, and I could play it back. Yeah, y'all about to say you did.
Yeah.
Because my question was family and your daughter.
Yeah, but no, that's a fam. That's, you know, it's family at that point. But
well, I was referring to, you know.
No, you're right. I wanted to because I want, like I said, I want to identify with what we're talking about. And you know, and show people that it's a real thing. Like, this, my situation is still in play. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, but that played a part, you know, and not to touch on it too much, but that, you know, so everybody was affected, you know.
Do you think your relationship with your daughter changed because you were locked up?
No, not at all.
That's good.
She wondered, you know what I'm saying? Absolutely. I had to tell her while I was there because it was killing me. Like, and when I explained it to her, she, you know, she received it. And I think that she was affected by it, but I don't think that it changed anything. I know she doesn't look at me any differently. Because I explained it to her that this is something that happened before she was even on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not like some decision I made last week, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's like, oh, you know, regardless of what daddy be talking about, I'm out here making stupid decisions. Like, nah, this happened before you even came here. You know what I'm saying? So, and the reason why I'm dealing with this is because I never wanted you to be affected by it. You know what I'm saying? So,
you know, that's good. I mean, to know that, you know, you guys still have and, you know, maintain, you know, the same relationship. I do have a final thought question, I guess. So what would you say to our youth who are currently driven by the rich lifestyle or get rich lifestyle at the expense of their freedom? Like, what would you say to them?
I don't want to be like the cats that was coming and talking to me. You know what I'm saying? But what I can say is this. See, the reason why I worked in an effort to not, like, it was cats that was coming to me telling me to chill and slow down and whatever. And I felt like the reason they were saying that was because they was washed up. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like, seriously. Like, I'm like, yo, you ain't in the mix.
I feel
you,
but you don't. Given the circumstances of who you are, the curriculum that you're running, the things that you do for our youth, I mean, what would you say to them now? Like, if this was a younger you looking at, who has this get rich, like, you know, he has everything, obviously, that he's getting. He
I would say the same household. Thing. Yeah, I would say the same thing that they was telling me. I should have listened to them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wish there was, you know, moments that I wish it, but I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't change what I went through. I wouldn't, because it made me who I am. That sounds so cliche, but it's so real. I'm thankful for my story. Like, I'm very, very thankful for my story. You know what I'm saying? I'm thankful. Those tests became testimonies like that. The thing that I thought was just a big old mess, it became my message. So, but I will say, it ain't worth it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, it ain't worth it. It ain't no big old champagne party at the end of it. what I can say is I done seen, you know what I'm saying, people touch it. Like, I done seen people have their way. And I mean that in all regards. Like, I done seen cats with a million cash, 100%. No BS, no cap, no none of that. You know what I'm saying? Off the streets. And them niggas don't sleep at night. You know what I'm saying? They live in a box, you know what I'm saying, to where everything is surveillance camera down. They don't trust nobody. They don't have nobody around them. They built a golden wall around themselves. You know what I'm saying? They live on an island, not in a literal manner, but they, you know what I'm saying, they've alienated themselves. And it's like, for what is that worth? You know what I'm saying? Is it worth it? The money, you know what I'm saying? It's like you could buy whatever you want to buy, but you can't go to the mall.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like that, to me, that ain't worth it. You know what I'm saying? I tell anybody, get your bag. You know what I'm saying? But make sure your bag is halal. Make sure it's clean. You know what I'm saying? I'm not telling nobody not to go get no bread. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'd be a fool to say that. But
I feel like they should do it the right way.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. Like, make sure it's clean though. You could, mm-hmm. There's so many opportunities to go get some clean bread. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so many opportunities to be positive and still go get it. I'm a living testimony. You know what I'm saying? Like, we the real children of Israel. And I'm going to just end that on that. Like, we, you know what I'm saying? It's really time for us to find out who we are. You know what I'm saying? And build off of that. It didn't start off with no slavery. Like I said, they followed up slavery with the justice system, but it didn't start there. You know what I'm saying? It didn't start there. Don't let them schools and them teachers tell you that. You know what I'm saying? We came from kings and queens, 100%. You know what I'm saying? And we could get back to that if we remove our mind from that nonsense. You know what I'm saying? If we get out of that systematic way of thinking and, you know what I'm saying, stop listening to these rappers lie to you. You know what I'm saying? If you, you know what I'm saying, them rappers ain't even telling their children the same nonsense they telling you on them songs. I mean, I ain't telling nobody no lies. You know what I'm saying? I can't. It's like, this is what I go through. This is what I experience. You know what I'm saying? So I got to share it with my people. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate the opportunity just to talk and let people know what time it is.
No, I definitely, yeah. And I definitely appreciate you, you know, coming on today. You know, for sure. I mean, because a lot of people are afraid to talk about stuff like this, to be open, transparent about, you know, mistakes they've made, mistakes they learned from, you know, because especially with, you know, the society we live in now, especially with social media, everything is glamorized and perfect and this, and nobody really wants to talk about, you know, when they've been down and out. So, I mean, I definitely appreciate you being transparent and, you know, especially being vocal and talking about something that a lot of people kind of shy away from, you know, talking about. You know, it's kind of like, you know, something that's supposed to be kept under wraps and not really mentioned. So I definitely appreciate that. My final thought would be, or advice to our youth would just be that reputation is everything. You know, I remember I was once told that, you know, if it comes to you easy, it ain't worth it. So, yeah, I mean, hard work is everything. And I mean, if you got to work for it, and no matter how long it takes you to get what you get in, it's a lot more worth it than something that happens to you, you know, in the hour. So that would be it. But I thank you guys for tuning in. I thank you, Johnny, a.k.a. Pablo. I will, in the description bar, leave his IG name, so that way if you guys want to hit him up for his curriculum or get some more information or advice and whatnot, you can definitely feel free to DM him. Also, feel free to leave a voice note if you guys want to leave your questions and concerns, although this is not customer service, but you are more than welcome to, and no trolling, okay? I have to throw it out there because the trolls, I can't.
They was at us about that cuffing season.
I can't no more with that. That's, yeah, I mean, they took it to forums and yeah, they do too much. But yeah, like I said, I thank you again so much for being so transparent. And I thank you guys for tuning into today's episode. And we will catch you guys in the next one.